Continuing in our sermon series, Red Letter Life, our gospel lesson today is from Luke chapter 15, verses 1 through 7, which is the first of three parables that Jesus tells about the joy and celebration that occurs when what is lost is found. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to him. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling, saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So Jesus told them this parable. "Which of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my lost sheep.' Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. The religious leaders are grumbling, complaining, murmuring, criticizing Jesus. So Jesus tells them this parable. Jesus is inviting his toughest critics into the conversation, opening with a question that might even elicit a positive response. "Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? Which one of you?" Now, I am not sure that the scribes and Pharisees are able to see themselves as the lowly shepherd. After all, shepherds are peasants, usually a bit dirty, smelling like the sheep and livestock. How about us? As we said a moment ago, this series of three parables that Jesus tells begins with the parable of the lost sheep. It's immediately followed by the parable of the lost coin, where the woman searches diligently until she finds it. And then both of these together set up the third parable, the parable of the prodigal son, or perhaps better named, the parable of the faithful father. Now, with these stories, Jesus is helping us better understand God's priorities and the goodness of God's character. Plus, they highlight the joy that occurs when everything and everybody is back together again. When the shepherd returns, all the friends and neighbors get together and the whole community rejoices. Now, all of this made me think of a simple lost and found example in our own life that yielded great joy. Our son John's best and favorite eyeglasses were lost for several months. John had gone on a hiking and camping trip with some friends, and upon his return, he couldn't find his favorite eyeglasses. We looked everywhere for them, but to no avail. Finally, John figured that he must have lost them on the trail somewhere, so he called the park ranger's office so they could put out an APB. No luck. Then recently, still holding out hope, Ken happened to open the drawer of a desk that had belonged to his mother, the first piece of furniture his mother had ever purchased with her first ever paycheck as a school teacher. Lo and behold, in this drawer were the eyeglasses. Ken and John literally jumped for joy. They laughed and they hugged each other. Then they immediately called me to join in the celebration. And all that joy is just over a favorite pair of eyeglasses. How much more when Jesus, as the good shepherd, is probably one of the most familiar and comforting images. It reminds us of God's faithfulness of old, of David, the shepherd boy anointed as king, a man after God's own heart, and forerunner of the everlasting covenant that God makes and fulfills in Jesus. The shepherd cares, puts his own life at risk, going into the wilderness alone, where darkness and danger lie. The shepherd goes after the one that is lost. Now, it is worth noting that if a sheep has wandered too far, all sorts of things could be in play here. The sheep could be sick, tired, in much need of care, wounded, you just never know. And so then, once found, the shepherd still has to get himself and the sheep back to the fold. Jesus says, when the shepherd finds the sheep, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. Certainly, this is a convenient and practical way to carry a sheep. But this image says so much more to us. Here is the shepherd with the sheep wrapped around his neck, almost like a yoke, with his whole body carrying the weight. Now, this image really spoke to me differently this week and made me think of the yoke of obedience and humility as Jesus goes to the cross on our behalf to make all things right. Red letter life, the words of Jesus, words and actions that matter. Now, context is always key for how we understand and appropriate Scripture, so let's look a little bit closer. Prior to addressing his critics, Jesus has been spending most of his time with his disciples and the crowds. Jesus is calling his disciples. He's preaching and teaching and healing. He's eating with tax collectors and sinners, not just joining in the meal as a guest, but often serving as host, showing embrace and acceptance, inviting relationship. Jesus is reaching out to those on the margin, spending time with those in need of repentance, spending time with those who are in need of belonging. But then, after this, Jesus turns to the religious leaders in direct response to their grumbling. Jesus addresses his critics who seem to be lost in the weeds and in the narrow margins with limited imagination. I suspect that Jesus hopes more for them, for us, for all of us, hoping for repentance, hoping that they may rethink, may hear anew, afresh, who and what God blesses, who and what gives God great joy. We remember, of course, that parables are a favorite method of Jesus for teaching. Parables are that type of storytelling that invite us into the story as participants, active participants. They require our receptivity and imagination to discern the point and purpose being made. In other words, parables are not dogmatic teaching that force us into believing, but rather they're stories that invite and challenge and teach us by our willingness to step into the story. Parables invite us to respond, to be transformed, to be reshaped into God's character and likeness. Which one of you, Jesus asked? So, who do we identify with the most today? Are we like the shepherd who nurtures and cares and goes after the lost? Well, hopefully, all of us have shepherding as part of our discipleship. Are we like the sheep who wanders? Are we like more like the 99? Are we like the religious leaders, grumbling about the mercy that Jesus shows to sinners and tax collectors? Are we part of the greater community who rejoices when finding what is lost? Maybe we identify with all these. I know that I do. If one of the main points that Jesus is making is that we are in a relationship with a God who rejoices when everything and everybody is put back together, then how can we join God in this work? Consider that just a couple weeks ago, our congregation gave thanks and rejoiced in the good work that God is doing in our church. We gave thanks and celebrated these very things. We celebrated the generosity of our church as we extend God's grace into the community through service and building of relationships, consistently providing basic necessities and food each week. We celebrated the growth of our children, youth, and young adult ministry. We celebrated our Care and Connect ministries. We celebrated lots of young families with young children. We celebrated God's good work among us. Let's get back to the sheep for just a moment, since this is such a familiar image of God's people. Sheep are known to be a bit stubborn, prone to wander, not necessarily with willful disobedience and intent, but all the same, sheep can end up with their head down, grazing, wander, and then all of a sudden find themselves in a precarious situation. No doubt, all of us can get lost. We can lose our way, get turned around, off the path. It might be a slow, unintentional process. It could also be that external factors are impacting us and throw us off course, pushing us to the margins. If we think of our wandering in terms of math, even a very small degree, a fraction of an angle, can end up being miles of separation over space and time. It's easier to make that course correction on the front end early on. Thankfully, we have reassurance that the Good Shepherd goes after us, and we have friends who care, who come alongside, who seek, who search, who take risk on our behalf. And then together, when we are all back together, we can celebrate. Red letter life, the words of Jesus, words and actions that matter, especially when we remember that Jesus tells this story when he has already made his turn towards Jerusalem, towards his rejection, suffering, and death. Jesus has already set his face towards the cross to carry, to bear the weight of our sin in his body, offering forgiveness and reconciling all things on heaven and on earth to God. Consistent with today's lesson, we remember that Jesus goes to the cross not begrudgingly, but rather Scripture says, and this is amazing, but Scripture says Jesus goes to the cross for the joy set before him. More rejoicing. Now that is amazing. Thanks be to God. Amen.